All right. Well, Kevin Barker, a rare offensive outburst by your Toronto Blue Jays tonight. An eight-run second inning, 3 runs in the third, 12-0. The Blue Jays beating the Athletics in the first of a four-game series at the Rogers Center. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. If you're texting us, 590-590 is the text line. Name and location, please. So, the Jays come off a series against the Texas Rangers where neither team seemed able to score any runs. And they roll in here, Kevin. And, you're very fond of saying, wait, if you wait long enough, the pitcher will eventually throw you a fastball over the middle or a hittable pitch. Not certain you expected as many 90-91 mile an hour fastballs as they got today, though.
Yeah, I think the couple of starting pitchers for the Blue Jays that came out and said that they're facing one too many 1-2s and 3s in the rotation. They need to face more 7 and 8s. And I can't argue tonight. I mean, the 91-92s from the lefties that were thrown down the middle. Yeah, I've said that many times, right? That's the separator from the really good hitters to the great hitters is they allow pitchers to make mistakes. And, you know, I think that's what the Blue Jays did tonight, 1 through 9. They allowed the pitcher, whoever that was on the mound, to make a mistake. Mistakes are down the middle at 90, 91, 89. Some sliders that weren't real good pitches, some cutters at 89 that didn't cut. You don't usually get those back. So give the lineup credit. They got the big hit when they needed it and took a little pressure. John Snyder's been saying this all year. They needed a laugher just to give the rotation a chance just to go out there and pound the zone and sort of, you know, be free and easy. And that's exactly what we saw from Jose tonight.
This raises the question, of course, almost the eternal baseball question about momentum and can it carry over to the next day. And, of course, as we know, momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. In that case, for the A's, it will be Jeffrey Springs. Chris Bassett will go for the Blue Jays. But all that aside, Kevin, the approaches you saw tonight, just the fact that dudes are going to bed tonight having taken good swings and put the ball out of the park. Is that alone, is that enough something that they can carry over to tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hitting is a lot of confidence. You know, you got to have confidence. Look at Tony Taters compared to everybody else tonight, right? I mean, you can see it on his face. He didn't have confidence. When you don't have confidence, you're off balance. You're chasing things you normally wouldn't chase. When you do get a good pitch to hit, you don't hit it hard. So, yeah, it's a big deal. You know, I think we're sort of in the realm of you look at the next day starter against the Jays, how hard's he throwing? You know, what's the velocity on his fastball? Tomorrow's Jeffrey Springs fastball's in the low 90s. That's, you know, 89 to 93, somewhere in that range. That gives the Jays a good chance slugging to the pool side. I think you'll see a little bit more of that tomorrow. If they allow Jeffrey to make a mistake, they'll sort of have the same kind of game. Not saying they're going to score 11 or 12 runs, but they'll have a chance of having that huge inning if they let Jeffrey just because he's not a real hard thrower. So, yeah, I think you take small victories. You go to bed tonight knowing that your big boys were your big boys. And other than Tony, you know, I hate to be that, but other than Tony, everybody else had good at-bats. They got good pitches. When they got them, they didn't miss it. Hopefully you can carry that over to tomorrow, knowing that if you let them, you get one down the middle. Most dudes at the big league level, no matter how hard you're throwing it, has a better chance of slugging against that pitch than any of the other pitches.
Yes, and again, the Jays through this series will face 3 left-handers, which is kind of a luxury for this team. They haven't run into a lot of left-handers in a row, and that will certainly, you would think, play into their hands. Jose Berríos today, Kevin, what did you make of his start? And, you know, kind of quietly, we've talked about Jose Berríos a bit. He's not a guy that's going to come out and overpower you. You know, he's not a guy that's going to come out and throw 98, 99. But sort of quietly, he's put together 5 quality starts in his last 6 outings this month. And he's been pretty consistent, and that's kind of his hallmark as a pitcher, isn't it? He's consistent.
Yeah, I think so. You know, for me, it was a little less rotation with the lower half, allows the shoulders to be a little bit more square to the target, which tonight you saw the sinker glove side. He was able to throw front hip two seamers to lefties. He had two Ks on that. He could throw a comeback two seamer to a righty, which he had one K on that. He threw changeups that had sink arm side, which sort of that variance in the two speeds between the sinker and the changeup's a big deal for him. He established that early. Didn't need a slurve. He only threw 12 of those. The fastball up was a weapon. He had four of the eight Ks on the elevated fastball. When he can keep the shoulder square and finish towards his target, he's able to do all the things I just mentioned and have five of the six starts this month be quality starts. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's not always about the velocity, but when he's mechanically sound, he's able to have the little extra gear because he's getting better finish. He's not falling off to one side. He's not getting out of his shoulders, which a lot of times he does. That's why sometimes his sinker's non-competitive and his slur's non-competitive. So you like him mechanically. You like it when his offense scores early. Other than the sixth inning, him running out of steam, he was outstanding.
Buddy and Simcoe, go ahead.
Blair and Barker, love you guys. Chicks dig the long ball. Awesome game tonight. Jose was filthy. You're right, Barker. Tony didn't hit. Everybody else hit. I hope something's health-wise wrong with him because he should have hit some of those meatballs. And Barker and Blair, is Bo going to get on a hot streak?
Oh, appreciate the call.
He's already on.
Bo's been, yeah. I mean, he's. I mean, I would say he's probably been their most consistent hitter this year. I think what maybe has been lacking, and I'm kind of careful when I say this, but I think maybe in the case of Bo and Vladdy, what's sort of been lacking is that dramatic hit. You know, we saw the dramatic hit last night, the two-run home run, pinch hit home run that beat Texas. And, you know, you kind of have to keep that in mind. The fact that this offense in general hasn't been scoring, the fact that there hasn't been a lot of what I would say offensive drama this year, shouldn't take away from the fact, Kevin, that Bo has had a pretty good start. Again, the most consistent hitter on this team, I would suggest.
Yeah, the last seven games, he's only had four hits. He's four for his last 24. He's got a couple homers. He had four RBIs, or five RBIs, excuse me. He's got a couple of walks and a punch out. For me, I don't think the Big Daddy Hacks hit in his game anymore. I don't think he thinks he has to have that. You know, he's been pulling off speed. He's been hitting the fastball the other way. Even his outs have been loud. You know, the four hits and the 24 at-bats, you know, you could look at that a couple of ways. Everybody's in love with exit velocity. I'm not so much. I think certain guys, you don't even pay attention to that. He's one of them for me. I just think his direction's better, his posture's better, his timing with his front foot's better. He's staying inside the baseball. He can get the head out on an off-speed pitch that's in, not enter third, in, which is a big deal. Keep that fair. That'll tell you direction, finish is all on point. Everything with a good swing starts from the ground up. So the caller's point, probably, you know, again, it's just sometimes when you have a little issue with health, meaning your back, I think that just sort of puts emphasis on getting better pitches to hit. Other than the first inning, you know, that's sort of him, right? I mean, he chased the ball that's probably 6 inches away off the plate. Probably would rather have that at bat back. But other than that, he's been getting decent pitches to hit. I just think it's that. You know, it's very hard for him to take two strikes. You know, if he can take the borderline pitch, allow the dude to at least get around the strike zone because of plate awareness and what he does with his lower half and how quick his bat is, he should be able to get barrel the ball, start getting balls in the air, and doing some things when it comes to slugs. So, yeah, I think he's real close just by optics and the way he's running around the bases. A lot of what Bo does, you can actually see it playing out. Confidence is sort of his thing. He's running on the field. He's running off the field. He's throwing the ball to first. He's even when he hits a fly ball, you can just tell when he's confident and he's about to take off. And I think to the caller's point, I'm with him. I think he's close.
Will in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi there, guys. Kevin and Jeff, I just wanted to say that I'm so thankful to get on your show. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I think you guys have a great chemistry going on. And I didn't mention this off the top of the call, but I do believe that Kevin would be a great addition to the Jays in terms of hitting and what to do, because I think he has, he's a major league player and he has a lot of knowledge, and I would love for him to be not a hitting coach, but just be around the team and be able to share all this knowledge that he has, because I think
don't
it's
take
great.
Him away from me though, then you make my life hell. That's not fair.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, let's get to the point. And I was just thinking, let's just say Santander is looking the exact same way that he's looking now in 2 months from now. What did the Jays do with his contract? Is there a way that he could be moved? I mean, I don't know if it's, is this a contract 3 years or five? I can't remember.
5 years, $92.5 million.
Wow, exactly. So I don't know. They just got to stick around. They got to keep him pretty much. There's not much they can do, right? Even if he doesn't do anything, move him.
Yeah, that's one of the, one of the dangers of signing guys to a long-term contract. Look, they've signed Anthony Santander to hit between 30 and 40 home runs and eventually to be their DH. And that's what they want him to do. I don't have a problem with the contract in terms of where this team's payroll is. Again, we have to keep that in mind. I always ask the question about a contract. Is it going to prevent the organization from doing what it needs to do? This organization, given its payroll, should be able to handle his, $18 million a year?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be an issue for this team. And you know what? If he can hit 30 home runs, he'll be worth $18 million a year to this team. And that's just the way it is. So, yeah, I don't worry at all. I don't worry at all about that contract. Every contract, when you're talking about 5 years and you're dealing with a guy in his 30s, it's going to stink at the end, because most guys aren't good at the end of their careers.
Thanks for the call. I think it's a little early to be talking about the end when we're two months into this thing. If we haven't seen this from him before, I think you should be a little bit more worried. Last year it basically looked exactly like it's looking now, until the calendar turned to June, and I think his slug went up almost 100 points. He hit 13 homers last year in June. I think that's what we got to remember. I don't want to continuously say the slow start thing. I just think it's sort of everything that could go wrong went wrong, meaning everybody else around Tony hasn't been doing their thing for the most part up until today, really. So that would sort of put more of a spotlight on what he ain't doing, what everybody's trying to get him to do, and he gets hurt, the shoulder, the hip. And he's trying too hard. I mean, he knows what he got paid. He knows what he's been brought here to do. He knows what he's not doing. So I think it's a little early for us to be jumping ship on a guy that they brought in to thump. He's going to end up thumping. It's just, hopefully it's sooner than later. We're having John on tomorrow. We'll ask the questions about, do they think he's close? What are they seeing from him? What would they like to see more of? I'd like to see him get his feet a little closer, put his hands a little higher, and hunt the heater all the time. He sees it spinning, take it. Simplify it as much as you possibly can, but he's making 100, I ain't. So, yeah, I just think, again, let's not get too overly excited. It's more, I think, important to get Vladdy going, Vladdy doing his thing, starting to hit homers, starting to pull velocity in the air with some authority. Let's stop talking about how hard he hits the ball, exit velocity on his outs. It's performance-driven with him. Get him going first, and then I think Tony will just be able to go up and hunt the heater. So, let's everybody, back off just a little bit. Again, we've seen this before. So, hopefully, here in the next couple of weeks, he can flip this thing around and start hitting some homers. And, he's not an average guy anyway. It's all about the homers. Maybe, hopefully, he starts hitting them.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. The Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Athletics 12-0 in the first game of this four-game series at the Rogers Center. We're going to step aside, come back, and take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard in the AL East standings with Bet365. And, yes, we will go back to the phone lines and the text lines as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
know, baseball's funny. Every day is different, and one of those days, you know, I think just, you know, Ernie getting us on the board, and then Bo, Vlad, kind of just was a little bit contagious today in that second inning. And, yeah, that's about as best as you can draw it up. You know, Hosey was great and got some guys off their feet. That was we had a good approach against Lopez. What I really liked is not taking your foot off the gas after you score eight, and you kind of continue to add on.
That was John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, an eight-run second inning, an eight-run outburst by the Blue Jays. Leading them
right off the tongue, don't it?
It really does. Leading them to a 12-0 win over the Athletics. Ernie Clement, two big blows in that inning, a three-run home run and a two-run double. Home runs for Bo and Vladdy and George Springer as well. Time now to take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard and the American League East standings, courtesy of our friends at Bet365. At Bet365, you can bet in popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. A relatively quiet night in the majors tonight. Therefore, as well, a relatively quiet quiet day, quiet night in the American League East. As we take a look around, the Tampa Bay Rays are currently leading the Houston Astros 3-0. That is in the bottom of the sixth inning. And the Athletics and Blue Jays are the only other AL East team, or the Blue Jays are the only other AL East team to play the Braves and Phillies. They're playing a doubleheader. They finish the doubleheader. The Braves taking both ends of the double. Sorry, the Braves winning 9-3 and losing 5-4 in the second game of the doubleheader. So as we take a look at the American League East standings, as I wait for my computer to refresh itself, well, you know, I mean, these things are... I'm kind of juggling three things at once here. The Yankees, 35-20.
Uh-oh.
Their next game is against the Dodgers. Good luck with that. That'll be an interesting series. The Rays are 28-27. Toronto, the Blue Jays, 28-28. Boston, 27-31. The Baltimore Orioles, 19-36. And I know it's early in the year.
Is it early?
But... we've talked about some of the things we needed to see from the Blue Jays this year. One of the things was maybe reestablishing home field advantage a little more. They are 17-12 at home this year. So early days, I get all that. It is very much early days, but a positive sign nonetheless, considering how, you know, how much emphasis, Kevin, we've kind of placed in the past on. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to turn this place into the same type of cauldron that it was in 2015 or 2016, not for a while, but you want to sort of be comfortable at home, and you want to kind of establish a bit of an identity. I'm not a big believer necessarily in teams' identities and all that. I think that kind of takes care of itself, but it never hurts to establish your identity at home at least.
Yeah, remember 15-2, nobody wanted to throw a lefty against the Blue Jays, right?
Exactly.
I mean, just because they were wearing every lefty out they saw, they were hitting a bunch of homers. I think that's what they need to get back to, right? Hitting homers here, establishing that you better make good pitches. They're going to bridge you. That'll take a little pressure off the rotation. You might see the best out of them. Bullpen looks like they figured themselves out, so they always play great defense. Seems like they're running the bases. They cleaned that up. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. Every good team's got to play great at home. And you figure out how to play 500 on the road. Like, until you play great at home, can you really take them serious?
Paul in Sealy's Bay.
Yeah, hey, fellas. Well, they certainly played great at home tonight. Really enjoyed watching that. Such a pleasure. Listen, my question is about Santander. Now, listen, I'm a huge fan. And I can be patient. I think it's going to happen, as you suggested, Jeff. But I was wondering, might he spur himself on by picking a side rather than switch hitting, go lefty or righty? I looked up a couple of examples. Shane Victorino, he did it in 2013 for the Boston Red Sox. Really worked out well for him. He ended up with an 875 OPS and helped the Red Sox win the World Series that year. And then another Oriole, Cedric Mullen. He made the change in 2021, and that, for him anyway, was a huge success as well. He had a breakout All-Star season in 2021, hitting .291 with 30 home runs. So let's give him June, okay, a week or so anyway. But do you think it might make any sense for him to pick a side? I mean, if there's an injury that might be hurting him from one side or the other, that might make sense to pick a side. But that's my question.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll turn that over to you. Just keep in mind that Cedric Mullins was hitting at the time that he made the switch. He was hitting .251 and .147. So there was a 100-point difference in his batting average from one side to the other.
Yeah.
Anthony Santander's got power from both sides. So I think there's – I get what you're saying, but there's a little bit of a different equation there. And also, Anthony Santander was given $92.5 million to hit from both sides.
Yeah, he's got – what has he got? He's got 43 at-bats against the lefty. That means he's hitting from the right side. He's hitting .163. He's hitting .184 against righties. If there was a big difference, you might think about that. Just because of the injury, because of how hard it is to mechanically figure out how to get both swings on point all matching up together. But I'll say this, when's the last time the Jays faced a left-handed pitcher? The lefties are so far apart that it's almost like you don't even need to think about it.
Yeah.
How does he start getting on top of a righty, left-handed, elevated fastball? That's where you got to get, right? We had Chipper Jones on the other day, and I asked, how do you, when you're going through it, what are you thinking? And he said he couldn't wait to say it. You got to get all over the heater. Like, yeah. I mean, if you ever want to be taken serious, it is hitting the heater. Well, we've been talking about this team, velocity and slug, and Tony ain't no difference. When he's rocking and rolling, he is destroying fastball. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're a little early for that. Again, we're only 2 months into this thing, I mean, with this dude. And, again, we saw this last year with the Orioles. The only reason I'm assuming the Orioles weren't making a big deal out of that is they had dudes raking, and they were winning baseball games. And the Blue Jays haven't. And the Blue Jays guys that matter the most have basically – I'm not saying they've been as bad as Tony, but they ain't living up to the back of the baseball card either. So, yeah, again, it's a good thought. You know, I'm sure if it went south completely where it's falling off a cliff, maybe you might think of it, you know, a year or two from now. But right now, man, I would think as many righties as you're facing and the issues you're having hitting left-handed – just figure that part of it out, because they ain't facing enough lefties to even have to worry about it anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm with you completely. Victor in Mimico, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say I appreciate your acumen with the sport, you as a reporter, as well as Kevin there as a former player. You guys do outstanding work.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. My first point is, I know Kevin hates the khakis, but whoever made the call to send Berrios back a day ahead of everything seemed to have worked out in their favor. Obviously, he showed up ready to go with a good night's sleep as opposed to the rest of the boys. Okay, now Kirky hitting cleanup is, like, killing me, right? I mean, he did good today. You got singles, but you don't need your cleanup guy hitting singles. You need him lower down in the order to turn the lineup over. Everybody's talking about Santander. I'm getting to the point now where I want to send him on a bus to Palookaville for a week just to maybe rethink. But you can't do that with that much of money the guy's got going on. I'm hoping he's good in that clubhouse, and I'm pretty sure he's got his teammates around him, and I'm hoping he comes back around. And that's all I got to say, other than the fact that I really love listening to you guys. And be well.
We really appreciate
it. Victor,
that.
You too. Be well.
Yeah.
It's funny. Teams, I was trying to remember when teams started. I covered teams that used to do that, but not.
Used to do what?
That would send the next day's starting pitcher home.
Yeah.
And you see it often in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, like Texas to Toronto, I can see doing it. I'm not certain if you would do it if it was New York to Toronto or something like that. It's very much an individual thing. There are guys that don't want to be away from the team.
I think it's about what time they're getting in. Yeah. He got in at 4 or 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got to flip it around. He did have a little extra gear to the heater. I mean, I can't argue that, right? Up until the sixth inning when it just looked to me like he was running out of steam. So that's a great pickup by the caller. I honestly even forgot about that. I mean, there's so much going on and offensively trying to talk about that every single day. And so give the caller credit for bringing that up. The Kirky thing hitting cleanup, I mean, do they have any other options, Jeff?
You play the
hot hand. You get your four best hitters up front.
You take
your chances.
We've got about a minute left, and if we get into a discussion on the lineup, it's going to turn into a fight and screaming and yelling, and it'll take at least 3 minutes to get us settled down. So no, there is no perfect lineup.
There's
with
not.
This team.
I'm at
until
the point
those
where
two guys start hitting. There's no perfect.
I'm
lineup.
At the point. I don't care where they're hitting. That's
pretty
just
much.
Me.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Although I'd like to see Bo in the middle of the order, but that's beside the point anyhow.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, no, well, who's leading? There's not much they can do.
Who's leading? No.
See, that's what I mean.
Well,
12-0. Not to worry about it tonight. 12-0. The Blue Jays have indeed beaten the Athletics, not the Oakland Athletics. Sorry about that. Beaten the Athletics. The second game of the four-game series goes tomorrow night, right here at the Rogers Center. You can hear it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. So thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hensel and Lambton Shores. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.